Hey, welcome to the Knowles 24/7 podcast. This is Brendan Sinone, joined by Josh Newberg and Chris Nee. Chris, are you still on the bench, like, emotionally?
Nope. I actually spent very little time on the bench. I was inside the more vast majority of the weekend. But after junior day, they had a lot of chairs and tables set up, so we were able to kind of chill in there. And obviously, we have to go outside and do the interviews and photos and stuff. But, you know, we were able to spend most of our time in there. So not as much bench for me this past weekend as normal.
He's dead inside. Josh, I heard rumors that you made it up to Tallahassee. I didn't actually see you, though, but I believe you were in the 850.
I made it. You saw the pin drop, Brendan, so you know I made it. It was great to see Chris. He's weathering the storm. He's almost out. I hope I could bring a little bit of energy up to Tallahassee for a couple minutes, but yeah, we're almost there.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how useful was Josh on Saturday?
He was very helpful because the format was a little different for this junior day than we've dealt with in the past. Essentially, the end point was a basketball game. So they were shuttling a lot of kids quickly back and forth from the hoops game during the game.
Oh, okay.
So we would be there and 3-4 kids might get off a bus. And then at the end of the basketball game, we had a whole plethora of kids get off the bus, probably 30 or so, a vast majority of the visitors. So in those moments of chaos, it was nice to have two able-bodied people to go get interviews.
Yeah.
And conquer.
It kind of ended as – when the basketball game ended, they put them all on the bus back to the Moore Center. And when they got off the bus, the visit was literally over. A lot of them just went straight from walking off the bus straight to their cars. I'd say 90% of the people that got off the bus did not go back into the Moore. So it was just kind of a free for all out there, but, it was a good showing. It was a little bit better than we expected. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yeah, it was a better showing than I expected on Friday going into Saturday. It was a very efficient day, and by all accounts, the kids enjoyed it. So I think it went
well.
All right. So this was the most long and meandering. We've had long and meandering opens before. This is by far the longest and most meandering. So this is my fault. I apologize.
If it goes wrong on this podcast, it's almost always your fault.
I think we need to evaluate letting me drive
the bus.
You're
the 3-star. You're the glue guy.
I'm a glue guy. So we do have a lot to get to. It was a very active
weekend.
There was a bunch of news and some really big news. We will get to junior day, but we're going to Quentin Tarantino it. Well, we started to because that was like the end. That's going to be what we end up getting back to. Important news, DeAndre Francois no longer on the football team. It happened really, really quickly. On Saturday, there was a video that was posted on social media by a woman, his either ex-girlfriend or a long – I don't know how to describe it, but there was basically a post on social media alleging domestic abuse. It was accompanied with a video that was more so audio, fairly disturbing, of a man and woman arguing with threats of physical violence in that argument. Obviously, you can't see the people, but you can hear them. And she alleged that DeAndre Francois was abusive in a relationship. And within 24 hours, there was a press release that FSU sent out from Willie Taggart saying that DeAndre Francois was no longer – with the Florida State football team. So there's a lot to digest there. I don't think all three of us are well equipped to talk about the domestic issues with it, but the football contact with DeAndre Francois, guys, I thought that he was unlikely to be part of the football team after the spring anyways. So I'm not sure if that was the huge loss in terms of what you were expecting to build going forward. To me, it's more unfortunate that it took this long and it took this type of incident to move on from someone that by all accounts, had a fairly toxic presence in the locker room on and off for the majority of his career, at least the last couple of years.
I find nothing about it unfortunate outside the actual incident. I think getting rid of DeAndre Francois from this program is turning the page in a great moment for this program going forward and getting rid of the origin point of so many issues that they have. The whole preaching of culture change is something that Willie has done in many ways, but that guy was stymieing his progress. He was holding him back, and he's now gone. I think it's a great thing for the program. I don't think he's a good guy to have around the program. I don't think he's a good guy to have around players. I don't think he's a good guy to have around young players. I don't think he does a single positive thing for what you're trying to become.
But let's get Josh's thoughts on it real quick, but I do have a thought on that. But Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, I think when Willie Taggart came in and preached culture change, I think DeAndre Francois represented everything that was toxic within Florida State's program. And that was the one change that he, you know, was slow to make. And having thought a lot about this over the last couple months, especially during the off season, I had a lot of people, you know, doing these Facebook Lives and stuff. A lot of people were telling me that I was campaigning against DeAndre Francois, and I was saying these things, and really, I wasn't. And I was just pointing out the issues that were within the locker room. I mean, birds of a feather flock together, right? Now we look, and who were best friends? It was Francois, Nooney, Zaquandre White. All three are gone, and now I think we're going to see some real culture change at Florida State.
Without saying too much, I've been led to believe that Florida State, inside the program, most people think that addition by subtraction applied this offseason. It's not just with DeAndre Francois, it's with other names that you mentioned as well, Josh. We talk about culture, and that's something that Willie Taggart has preached and discussed very publicly and fairly openly since he's arrived at Florida State. I think something that I've articulated a bunch of times on this podcast and I've written as well is I think the change has been too slow. And that's my concern. And that's the case when I say it's unfortunate that it took this long to happen, Chris. That's what I mean, is that it took this sort of public gross incident to move on from someone who I think there was enough divisiveness to know that that's not what you need in that position. Why do you keep that around and allow that to infiltrate other parts of the program? I don't know. I think that was my concern. And maybe the biggest criticism I've had of Willie is that he wasn't quick to run those types off. He wanted to save them. He wanted to try to get what he could out of them. You put your neck on the line for someone. Eventually you have to pull the neck off the chopping block too, before they take advantage of you.
Yeah. It's disappointing that Willie put some skin in the game and vouched for the kid and tried to work with him and tried to help him become a better person and a better player and a better leader and all those things. And he got repaid poorly. I mean, the kid, you know, screwed him over, for lack of a better term. But I'll go to the quote by the senior bowl director, Nagy, basically saying he has a plethora of red flags that just say stay away. And, like, I feel like Taggart and FSU as a whole, but obviously Willie runs the ship, they did a horrendous job of recognizing that and moving on from it. And they squandered a year by riding that kid's shoulders. And there was a window of opportunity when he was injured, and you play James Blackman, and then you go back to him, and you squander it again. And I that I think was a total miscalculation by the new staff of how to move this program forward. And here we are, you know, 3-4 months after that, not even that, and he's gone. And it's a good thing for the program. And truthfully, I don't think he would have been part of the program the coming season either way, but good riddance.
Right. And I think making this move, had this been made about a year prior, I don't think Florida State would be in the situation where it is at the quarterback position. I think the uncertainty of Francois, whether he was going to leave or return, and Taggart's loyalty that he's shown to him, was something that not only high school prospects looked at, but I think probably grad transfers did as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like Chris said, just having him around and sowing this uncertainty within the program, because we did talk to a lot of sources, and none of them, in I'd say in the last 6 to 8 weeks, really thought for sure DeAndre was coming back. I mean, I'd say all of us, all of our sources were a bit surprised when DeAndre Francois announced he was coming back.
Well, he came back because he failed to graduate.
Right. I'm talking from November into December, even leading up to early signing day. I mean, a lot of the people we talked to did not think Francois was going to be with the program in the new year.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly you learn that you're not wanted.
Right.
And I think Francois learned that. One, he wasn't able to be a transfer. Two, the NFL certainly doesn't want him.
Mm-hmm.
And three, he didn't graduate, so he put himself in a corner where he didn't have options. Mm-hmm. And he came back to a place that, outside of very few people, but one of them was a head man, I don't think he was very wanted by people in that building.
No,
there were not a lot of sad faces yesterday when that statement came out.
No.
I think as we move further and further away from this date, as we move into 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, I think people are going to look back at the DeAndre Francois era at Florida State and just scratch their head and wonder why it was so long.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. And this is, you know, I get frustrated when people, when you get this revisionist history where you talk about someone or something after it happens more openly. But I think all three of us have at least hinted throughout doing the podcast and in our writing and on message board posts that, that we questioned the value that DeAndre Francois had in this program from the leadership standpoint. You know, he had the physical tools with the arm strength, but whether he fit within the offense was always a question in my mind. And then that's when you get to just the off-field baggage, multiple incidents in which, you know, he was investigated for several things off the field. And then you got the leadership aspect and just the division in the locker room. You had the senior day incident from 2017 where he's down in Orlando instead of on the sideline with his teammates. There was just a lot of red flags there that kept adding up and they become difficult to look past. So I think we all agree that this was a move that needed to be made long before FSU's hand was forced with the ugly domestic violence accusation. Now turning the page, it's a good thing that James Blackman's name never actually got into the transfer portal to where other teams could contact him. I mean, that would have made things very interesting. Right now, this is James Blackman's job to lose. He's the only quarterback on the roster right now, scholarship quarterback on the roster, who's currently eligible to play in 2019. They have Jordan Travis, but right now we don't anticipate him getting a hardship waiver. At least not, right? We don't expect that at the moment. It seems unlikely. Yes.
I've been in contact with Jordan Travis, and he's replied to my text. And anytime I ask him if he's going to apply for a waiver, he doesn't reply. So we've not been told through all of our sources. Nobody's been told that there's a good reason for him to be applying for a hardship. So I don't even know if he's applying, let alone would have a reason to get one.
Okay, so let's operate under the assumption right now that it's extremely unlikely, if not impossible. Right now, as it stands today, on this is Monday, February 4th, FSU has one scholarship quarterback available to play in 2019. His name is James Blackman. I think they should have committed to James months and months ago. I know
Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think the Notre Dame game was the time to commit to him after
after Miami.
Well, I mean, that was NC State, and he played against NC State. Okay.
Well, right. Commit to him through then.
We're talking about the same time period here. But once he showed you that he was capable of running the offense at a decent level, I think that was the time to go to him. And I've heard different reasons why they didn't. We've heard the redshirt reason. They wanted to maintain the redshirt. I don't think that was the plan all along, but it certainly became a factor at that point in the season. I've heard that they didn't want him to get injured behind a makeshift offensive line. Sensible, but overall, I think all of that is minor compared to creating a culture. And you have this quarterback who everyone loves, and then a quarterback who is considered aloof and clearly hasn't represented the program very well. And to me, it was a no-brainer. And I thought that at the time. In hindsight, it becomes even more evident and obvious. But you have James Blackman, not a perfect quarterback by any means, still has a lot of room to grow, both physically and then he'll be becoming more consistent as a thrower, but he does a lot of things well. He's fairly mobile in the pocket. He's got a big arm. He can push the ball downfield, and he's a guy who everyone really likes and respects. I don't know right now what his ceiling is, but I do think that Florida State's offense has the potential to be better with him. Again, I thought that for a little while now. I'm excited, I guess, to see what he does with Kendall Briles, but committing to James Blackman right now is not only sensible, I think it's your only true option at this time.
Now, they'll definitely go after grad transfer quarterback. Josh Jackson, Virginia Tech quarterback, was the first name I heard yesterday when it became official that DeAndre was sent packing. But they're going to evaluate others. The market obviously is somewhat depleted at this point. You know, some of the bigger names are already off. Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, maybe the two biggest. But they're looking. That's an avenue they're going to investigate. They want a guy who's immediately eligible, if for nothing else, to have a second capable, able body for next year who has college experience.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know if there's anyone on the market that you can say is going – that you'd be able to promise a starting job to, or essentially say if you come in – he's not Justin Fields. There's not a Jalen Hurts out there. You're getting a guy who you just hope can push and compete with James Blackman to make him sharper. And then, you know, who knows what happens. But, yeah, it's mostly a depth piece is what you're trying to get at this point, I would think. Sorry, Josh, what were you saying?
I talked to Josh Jackson this morning, and he told me FSU has not stopped by to see him, nor does he have plans to visit FSU. I asked him who he's interested in or who are the programs that are showing interest to him. He didn't want to divulge that information. But I told him I would keep in contact and anything he heard from FSU or visit set up to let me know. He said, okay. So as of now, that's where things stand with Jackson, but I think they're going to reach out, to a couple more and see what they can get.
And Jackson's a fine quarterback, and we saw him play in person this year. He's not going to really scare you with his arm or his athleticism. He does everything at an above average level. And again, that's kind of where Florida State's quarterback room is at right now, is you have one eligible guy right now. And you're just trying to get someone else into the fold who can be adequate and serviceable to push them and try to make them better.
This reminds me of the cycle the Florida Gators got in a couple years ago at quarterback, where they were bringing in guys like Appleby and Del Rio and, you know, trying to bridge the gap as they find the next guy. And, you know, there's a reason why these grad transfers are on the market.
Yeah.
Generally, they're not perfect. They're not perfect, but you got to try to find the one that best suits what you're doing on offense.
All right. So let's transition from quarterback to the quarterback room to quarterback recruiting. That'll lead off our official visit recap. Chris, I will kick to you here. John Rhys Plumlee takes an official visit, a guy who's very high in Florida State's wish list, dual threat quarterback from Mississippi, goes into the weekend with the thought that Mississippi is leading for his recruitment. He's a Georgia commit, but I think a lot of people expect him to flip somewhere at this point. What kind of headway, if any, did FSU make? How did that visit go? And what were your vibes from talking to him?
FSU impressed him a great deal, impressed him, his father, his mother, his younger sister was part of the visit as well. He met Charlie Ward during it. He got a ton of FaceTime with the coaching staff. Him and Kendall Bridles were connected at the hip. The things I took away in speaking to him and speaking to people around the program on Sunday and into today, FSU needed to close the gap from a relationship department. They had the shortest relationship of any contender with him, and I think they successfully did that. The other thing is they needed to show him that he fits the offense, and truthfully, I think FSU, more than anybody that's pursuing him, has shown that he fits the offense and what Kendall Bryles is doing and the need that they have in the offense in the quarterback room. All those things were positive. Baseball also needed to hit it out of park with him. He spent a lot of time on Friday with me, Mike Martin Jr.
Get it out of the park.
Also met senior during that part of the visit. He really enjoyed it, met some of the players. He liked it. I think he's entirely comfortable with FSU's baseball program. FSU's a player for him, no doubt. They made a huge move. I believe coming into the weekend it was Ole Miss. I still think it's going to be Ole Miss, but it's going to be much closer than it was 72 hours ago. They did a heck of a job. I mean, he really enjoyed himself. He liked it. The presentation to him was good. Landon Dickerson was his host, and he hit it off with him. Kind of similar guys, you know, kind of clean whistles, Christian-like guys. It worked. It was the right mix for JRP. He needed that kind of guy to host him, and that was right. They did a good job of kind of making sure they meshed.
What, we heard you call him JRP?
Yeah, well, I'm just going acronym, man. Okay. I like acronyms. But – it's going to be a heck of a tight race. They did a really, really good job. There's nothing more FSU could have done in the 72 or the 48 hours of the official visit and the time they've invested in the kid. The issue is they got in the race late, and a school like Ole Miss has been in it much longer. He hit it off with Rich Rod. Not that Rich Rod has been there that long, but he did hit it off with him. He likes a lot of members of that Ole Miss staff. Ole Miss baseball has done a good job with him. It's right there, you know, closer to home than FSU. FSU is probably, what, a 5-6 hour ride from Hattiesburg. So, you know, there's things FSU has to overcome, but they did a heck of a job of making the kid think. And truthfully, he may go public tonight with a commitment. He's definitely, from what he said yesterday, intending to make his decision this evening, Monday.
And this Monday evening, that's where hopefully we get this podcast recorded up before then. I'm giving Josh a cue. He's not paying attention.
What do you want?
Do you want to talk about the potential quarterback of the future at Florida State?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Plumlee. I think it's going to be Lance. I think what Chris said when he talked about FSU offering late and Ole Miss being there, it kind of goes with one of his quotes and what he thought of the visit. You know, he definitely loved what he saw at FSU and said, that out, you know, football and campus life and everything's equal, it's really going to come down to comfort for me. And I think staying closer to home, coupled with the staff that's been recruiting you longer and that you know a little bit better, I think it's going to be Ole Miss.
I have my crystal ball on Plumlee, but what do I know?
I don't have one in. If I did, I would have it on Ole Miss right now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have one in either. But
I don't feel supremely confident in Ole Miss right now, so therefore I won't put one in. If I, you know, get kind of a heads up that it's more likely one or the other, I might put one in before he goes public.
We were talking about doing a crystal ball show, and I think we still may do it tomorrow on Tuesday, but that'll depend on schedule, and I think we want to make sure that it's a very clean product as much as predicting what 18-year-olds are going to do. With
Monday before signing day is hot rumor day, so you're wasting a great deal of time chasing things that are just completely not fabricated while struggling to get things that are, you know, sincerely true and clear. And truthfully, in some cases, kids and their families or kids and their coaches, whoever they're making the decision with, they haven't sat down and had that conversation yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking them, you know, is it going to be this one or that one? And hell, they're not truthfully sure. Some are, but some aren't.
So I want to do it. I think our listeners would appreciate it. But
write it down in pencil so you can erase it.
But we want to make sure that it's timely and that it's fairly well-informed. I don't care about what I'm saying with recruiting stuff because that's not my bread and butter, but I have two folks here who have reputations to uphold. So anyways, on to the next official visitor, Ryan Roberts from NIU. Is a grad transfer, guy they got, was it two weekends ago now as a commitment? Or the last weekend? I can't remember.
It was Saturday of the weekend prior to this one. Okay. I just finished.
So FSU gets him on the campus. First, I heard that physically, like, he looks the part, right? Like,
yeah,
like,
he's a grown man, kid. Right? He's a kid that's clearly been in a college weight program training. He's been part of a fairly good NIU offensive line. I mean, the guy he played opposite of on the other end is going to be a high-end NFL draft pick. So there's some pushing going on there with guys who can kind of lead the charge with that unit at that school. He's a guy that, you know, you can tell that he's a body that's bulked up a lot in recent years. He was like a 215-pound tight end when he walked in the door there. And now he's a just over 300-pound offensive lineman. But good-looking kid, mature dude. He understands that he's dealing with a one-year clock, and in reality he's dealing more with like a six-month clock because he's going to get here in May or June and be done by December. He's working on finishing up his degree. He's adamant about getting that. It's important to him. I believe he said it's in engineering. He came off as a mature guy. He came off as the kind of guy that helps your room. Even if he's not, you know, a great player, a great starter day one, he's going to make you better as a unit. And he's a capable college body who has 10 starts under his belt and has played in 3 dozen or so college games.
All right. Josh, would you like to talk about Ryan Roberts?
Good picture of Ryan and Chris standing next to each other that I could post on the site for people to gauge his height and weight. Not Chris's, but Ryan's.
Well, so you get an idea. Like, Chris
we're
is
fairly
like...
similar in weight, and we're drastically different.
Chris looks like a smushed down Ryan Roberts. No, but I did see him. I was surprised at how lean he was, yet still massive, if that makes any sense. That's what you want your offensive tackles to look like, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
He came with mom and dad. They live in Arizona these days. He lived in Michigan before going to NIU. He's mature, man.
Very quiet kid.
Yeah, he's very direct with his responses. Christian-based kid. He's just about football and about school and very serious about the things you want a guy to be serious about at that point in their college career.
I think you said this before, Chris, but you've enjoyed interacting with them, texting,
yeah,
or whatever.
There's no fluff to the relationship. I'm a fan of it. He likes Greg Fry. They hit it off when he hit the portal. There was immediate contact. They got along well. Big reason why he chose FSU. He liked Coach Taggart, getting to know him better on the visit as well. And it just reaffirmed that he made the right decision for himself.
All right. So two more to go, the Jay brothers. Let's go with Jay Ward at first because he is he's uncommitted right now. Who wants to take him?
I'm interviewing him when he walked out of building. I have no clue. Like the interview gave me no tea leaves to read or clues to take. He enjoyed himself. He was more impressed with FSU than I think he expected to be coming into the visit. I just can't get a good read how interested either party is truly in the other. I think he believes Kentucky wants and needs him more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told Kentucky had a great in-home visit led by Coach Mark Stoops on Thursday before he came to FSU, and that Kentucky left that visit feeling very confident about where they stood in his recruitment. He has previously been committed to Kentucky. LSU's kind of put him on the back burner to some degree. They're lukewarm with him. I don't think A&M's very active at all in his recruitment any longer, and FSU's the other school that makes up his top four. With FSU, I think they like him. They have a relationship. Johnny Ward, his older brother, played for the staff at USF. Johnny was part of the visit this weekend. There's definitely a comfort with the staff and with the kid and with the family. And I think the kid likes FSU and like Coach Barnett and the opportunity he has. And he's a good-looking kid, 6'1" and a half, well put together on his frame. He could probably play corner, could easily play safety. He gives you versatility back there.
Bouncy, I watched his highlights.
But he's competitive. Everybody praises the way he plays the game.
Yep.
Multiple staffs have said that during this process. And it's why his stock elevated a great deal from December on when Senior Film came out. But I've never gotten a vibe that FSU's like pushing their chips all the way in on the table with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes both ways. I think that's kind of how I feel on both sides. I think they both like each other, but neither side loves each other.
Yeah.
They like each other, but do they like
Kentucky each other? Seems to be firmly adamant and truly trying to close a deal with the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For them to do that with a kid who decommitted from him says something.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason he committed to him in the first place. I still feel like Kentucky's pushing harder than anybody else is at this point. I would go probably Kentucky for Ward.
My crystal ball's on Kentucky for him. Whatever.
I don't have a crystal ball, but I plan on doing all this today.
FSU has a boatload of defensive backs in this class, and that's not to say, oh, whatever, if they don't get him, it doesn't matter. It's not that. It's just a matter of, do they truly need him?
Mm-hmm.
Does he make or break this class in the final days? He's a nice player to add to your roster. There's no contesting that. I just don't know if he's a need for FSU. Some people are like, oh, if they lose Cross, that's who they go with. He's not like Nick Cross. Bodies are different. Skill sets are different. The way they play a game are different. Nick is such a defined safety, while this kid is kind of a corner and can play safety. They're nothing alike. So to me, one doesn't replace the other. And we talked about that last time around on the pod, but I definitely feel that way.
All right. Travis J., someone who we know where FSU stands with him, and vice versa. I don't know how much there is to go over there. Chris, you spoke to him briefly. That's pretty cut and dry, right?
Yep, he's done. He put that to bed a couple weeks ago. FSU's home for him. That's really been true the longest time. The two biggest developments from talking to him, grades are in order completely. That's something he had to work on when he committed originally. He got that in order. There's not a concern there, according to him. And then he talked about staff kind of pitching him on potentially doing some stuff on both sides of the ball. Ooh. He played a ton of quarterback for Madison County while leading him to back-to-back state championships. He's a hell of a basketball player. He's a very special athlete who is a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
But he could do some things for you. He could, if you want to go with some trickeration or just screw with the opponent's head on offense, he could be something that he could do.
Go ahead and turn on his senior. Go to Huddle, put in his senior highlight tape. When he puts his foot in the ground and cuts, but he looks like a D1 wide receiver or running back. Like he's athletic.
So. He's a football player.
Yep.
I know that's a cliche and fallback term, but he's a dude that when the lights are on, he knows what he's supposed to do on that football field. It's
very fluid.
I will punch him as hard as possible.
All right. Nick Cross update. What do we got?
Wait. You're not going to ask me where I think Travis J's going?
No, okay. But you want to give us a Nick Cross update?
Yeah, I think he's going to stick with Florida. But we got through the weekend. He didn't announce at Georgia. He didn't announce after Penn State. I think they go home. The family's going to try to convince him that he needs to go anywhere but FSU. But at the end of the day, Nick Cross is going to win out, and he's going to sign with the Noles.
With Nick Cross, February is a new August. This is the exact same thing we did in August leading up to September. The sole difference is that Penn State got him on campus right before he has to make this decision.
The decision was supposed to come in a week or two after his visit to FSU on the official visit.
He gets to FSU on like June 22nd and commits like, I think it was September 3rd. So, yeah.
Well, we had heard that he had committed on the actual visit. Right.
Dad didn't, but he did.
You know, dad's still not committed.
The tussle at home.
I'll tell you what, if Florida State pulls him with all the pulling away they've had to, that would be a hell of a finish. The top ranked guy in the class, right now, he is.
Well, how much of a swing vote is that on the class? If FSU, you know, say FSU goes out and they add a quarterback, 2 to 3 O linemen, and one more player. So that's, you know, 3 to 5 additions at the end. Nice little finish, addressing a couple needs. You know, you get a tackle maybe, or two tackles, a good quarterback. And you keep Nick Cross. People are like, it's a good finish. What was available, it's a good finish. Okay, now let's say FSU kneels and they add 1 to 2 quarterbacks, all 3 O-linemen and another player. So 5 or 6 additions, including possibly 2 quarterbacks, but they lose Nick Cross. What are people going to talk about in that second scenario? Losing Nick Cross.
Yep.
Because he's the highest ranked player possibly being added or retained in the class. And that's what's going to be the thing. It doesn't really matter what they do otherwise. I'm saying from a perspective standpoint. And that's a concern there. But I'm with Josh at this point. I think he is going to stick with FSU. But, man, that thing has been a constant just battle. But he
ran over
the communication with FSU. He pretty clearly wants to go to FSU from what I understand. The family would like him closer to home, and dad likes the academics at Penn State, and that's the two sides of the battle. Same, you know what, different day.
Acronyms, SSDD.
D.
SSDD.
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 SSDD. SOS. Save us, Josh.
How next level would this be if FSU wanted Nick Cross to pretend like he was looking elsewhere, present this drama, and then pull him in at the very end?
5 and 7 teams aren't in that position.
Yeah. You don't get cute, Brendan, at this point. Well, you score the touchdown.
Speaking of games, should we talk Quayshon Fuller?
Yes, let's do that. Hey. Don't touch me.
Bama visit went well, from what I understand, but Monk still likes FSU a ton, and I think Quayshon's trying to build a little intrigue in the end. I'm not exactly sure I'm buying it. And I'm still interested to see how Bama's numbers are going to work out and how he fits into that.
We haven't got a clear answer on that yet, right?
And we've asked.
No, we have not. We've been trying to get that.
Yeah.
I think some of it might have to do with Bogle and what he chooses to do. But you also, you know, Alabama's known for – they don't care. They'll have a plan B, C, D, and E ready to go on signing day. And just because Quayshon Fuller came in, I mean, he might be 2 rungs down from where they go if Bogle chooses Florida or Miami. But I think
– good to be Alabama, huh?
I think we're in a situation where it's kind of a reverse Nick Cross. Mom really, really wants him at Florida State where she's comfortable. And I think – I don't even think it's necessary that he wants to go to Alabama as much as I think he wants to prove to people that he can go to Alabama or that they would take his commitment. I think, you know, Quayshon's highly influenced by what others say, especially on social media. And that's been one of the biggest critiques of Fuller that he engages with is the fact that, you know, he is or isn't a legitimate candidate for Alabama. So all that being said, I think when you take a deep breath and mom gets involved and pen goes to paper, I think he ends up at Florida State.
All right.
Brendan does not agree. So Brendan, go ahead and tell us why you put your crystal ball pick in for Alabama.
I predicted him to flip a long time ago.
To Florida, right?
I don't know. Georgia, Florida. I think I've had him all over the place. Again, for the people who care about my crystal ball, it's really an asinine. There's like 10% of the time there's legitimacy to it. 90% of the time it's just me guessing.
But Brendan, it is we're a couple days into February. Crystal balls are very serious in these times. All right. Do not play with people's crystal ball emotions in these times.
If the people don't understand to not listen to my crystal balls at this point, leave my balls alone.
It's like the internet panic button.
I don't know, guys. I think that we got indications that he was coming off a visit high and really liked Alabama. I don't think Florida State would be heartbroken, honestly. I think it'd be heartbroken if they lost Nick Cross. If they lost Quayshon Fuller, I think it'd be not a great look. But he's been all over the place so much in this recruiting process. I think there's almost kind of like a built-in, like, all right, well, what else can you do kind of deal? So I don't know. That's why I put it in, because I coin flip with that kid. I don't know. How's that? How about that?
Weak sauce.
All right. Now let's go to some positive news, because this has been kind of an up and down podcast, but really good stuff from Junior Day. You get a we'll go over the whole Junior Day scenario and list and you know who was there, but FSU gets two commitments. Let's start off with what everyone wants to know about quarterback, and that's Jeff Sims, 2020 kid from Jacksonville Sandalwood. Speaking of crystal balls, do you know who's the only one to put in a crystal ball on him?
No, I had one in about
I got one.
2 seconds before he committed.
You said before you put him in as committed.
I think he got off the elevator. I put it in, got up, went outside to the Bowden statue. He walked outside. We interviewed him and committed.
I mean, yeah, all three of us got crystal balls.
What?
Back off. That
is the day before.
Good for you.
Good. You asked us if we had one in, and all three of us do. So
it seems like percent don't care when you make it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead. Talk about Jeff Sims. I'm checking out for 2 minutes.
Best football is ahead of him. Tall, long kid, athletic, good arm, can do a lot of different things, can push it down the field. A little bit of a guy that needs to develop as a passer, not very rare for a kid that's a junior in high school. That's one of those things you'll commonly hear. But in talking to Coach Geis, who's his high school coach at Sandalwood High School in Jacksonville, he thinks very, very highly of him, thinks he's going to have a very good upcoming senior season, thinks he's a guy who's going to be a very good player down the road. And Geis has been in his corner for multiple years. He's a guy that, in talking to guys about who's coming up for you within your program, he's a guy that he's consistently mentioned in past years. And FSU's at the point now with quarterbacks where it won't hurt them to take a few ahead of time. And if they need to, figure it out on their end down the road instead of being in the pickle of, man, I hope we get one or two on signing day, you know, 48 hours out from signing day. So I think taking him now is not a bad take by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's a good player who's capable of being a much better player.
That was really cool.
What?
Having a quarterback committed to you that actually recruits for you.
Yeah, and he wants to be there.
That's pretty neat.
That's the other thing. He's a kid that there's obviously some visit high and the day was special, but he likes FSU. He is a fan of FSU. He likes the people associated with FSU. And he is. He hit up, I think, Bryce Gowdy literally like a minute after he committed. I think before he even put out his edit that he had committed, he was hitting up a kid that, you know, hey, come play with me.
I've heard two things about him, and I know some people have worked with Jeff for a little while now and kind of seen him grow and evolve as a quarterback. And one, he's really super charismatic, well-liked. That's going to help him as a recruiter. He's the guy you want to be the face of your class. And you hope, obviously, he gets, you know, ranked pretty highly and becomes someone that a lot of people look up to and gets all the positive attention that comes along with it. But he seems like he's going to be a really, really nice bell cow for Florida State in that sense. As far as him physically, I think you described his game well, Chris, and from what I watched his highlights, it seems like he's, you know, still has a lot of room to grow, but he's actually physically growing still. And that's the other thing that my understanding is he's put on like 20 pounds or so in the past like 6 months. He's getting longer and taller. He's been described to me as like a baby giraffe. Like he's still kind of trying to figure out his limbs because he's so big and gangly right now. But that points to a lot of upside too. Depending on how he develops, he's getting good coaching right now. He's someone that's definitely a high upside take for Florida State and a guy who makes a lot of sense. I'm curious to see how he develops. So,
you got any thoughts, Newberg?
A lot of what you guys had to say about his need to develop a little bit, but I made a couple calls around, talked to Luke and some others that have seen him out on the circuits this off season. And the word is, he's been impressive. People want to see more. They know the best football's ahead of him. Some of the stuff that you guys said to describe him is what I was told by others that have seen him. So all in all, I think it's a good pickup. I think he's going to be a great recruiter. Like you guys said, I posted a short video of him telling us he committed. In that, you could get a glimpse of kind of who he is as a person. But I think it'll be exciting to continue to cover him and get to know more about him. He seems like a great kid.
He's unranked right now, currently, right?
I think he's unranked by 24/7, or is he unranked in the composite?
If you guys can pull it up, because I don't want to mess up with the computer that I'm recording on right now. But my point is going to be is that I think he's going to be a 4-star by the time it's all said and done. I think he's going to be a 4-star whenever we get to the next round of, you know, ranking releases. So
he's a 3-star.
3-star composite. Okay.
Yeah, he's considered a number 33 pro style by composite standards. 247 is a little higher on him. They rank him as a number 19 pro style, also a 3-star.
Mm-hmm.
457 overall by 247, 695 overall by the composite. top 100 in Florida, 93 via composite, 60 in Florida. So he's a guy that could trend up.
I think it's going to
trend up. I don't think he's going to trend down.
Yeah, I don't think FSU fans should be worried right now about the whole ranking thing. If he was a three-star and an average quarterback, me, Chris, and Brennan would be more than willing to tell you he is. I'm willing to bet that this kid, you know, we're going to see him get a bump in the ranking because there's a lot of eyes on him as far as analysts go, and they're waiting to see a couple more things. I'd be eager to see if he shows up to the Nike opening Elite 11 in Orlando in about 2 weeks. Maybe we see a jump after that camp.
And again, this is all contingent. Like, he has a lot of room to grow. I use the term raw to describe him, and someone on Twitter was giving me crap for using raw because technically every high school prospect's raw. But
exactly.
He has a higher room to grow.
You deserve that crap.
No.
Yeah, you did.
You use cliches all the time.
But I usually preface it by saying it's a cliche.
Preface.
Preface.
My point is that he has a higher room. He has a high threshold to – oh, you don't want to drink that. That looks disgusting. Never mind. Moving on. Steven Dix Jr. From Dr. Phillips, 2020 linebacker, four-star guy, adds to the he's a second commitment that comes from the junior day, committed on Sunday during a very slow news day. And yeah, he's good. I don't know if he's an elite prospect, but he's a really nice, productive linebacker who does a lot of things well, very, very prototypical. And I mean, that's a good get for FSU, and they already have a really nice defensive class right now in 2020. He adds to it.
I think I'm a little higher on him than you are. When Clemson really wants a kid, Clemson liked him a lot, and mm-hmm. Ohio State liked him a lot. That's two schools that know how to evaluate really well. So I like him. I think he's a super productive player who's very good at finishing plays. The athleticism is good, not exceptional, but the ability to finish plays is really impressive to me. I like him a heck of a lot. He's another kid that really wants to be at FSU. He likes FSU. He knew at that junior day it was time to do something, to use a certain term. And I think it's a good thing for FSU. It's a position where they need to be a little bit ahead of it this year and trying to get guys who are very good to elite. I think he definitely falls into that realm of very good to elite.
Going back to the whole raw thing, Jeff Sims was described to me as raw by someone.
That's fine.
Okay.
But raw is
by someone who works with it.
With quarterbacks, if you're not raw, you're probably damn near your ceiling. So, like, that's what those were, like, you know.
That's what it means. Everybody has developing. A high ceiling. Yeah.
So, no, you're wrong. Just move on.
Yeah.
All right. Just I guess people who are paid to coach quarterbacks don't know what they're talking about either then. Well, just move on then. Move on. Steven Dix, go, Josh.
Steven Dix was a guy that we saw back in July at Saturday Night Live. He traveled to the event with Tyler Davis. He's hooked up with that crew with Renardo Green and those guys out of Orlando.
The Rat Pack.
Yep, the Rat Pack. And our boy AG, shout out to AG. They were up there this weekend. And Steven had a great trip to Florida State in July. Enough so that the one and only Brendan Sinone actually put in a crystal ball that was correct. And he returned. I think the message to him was, we really want you. Mm-hmm. And Dix has been to a couple other places. And I think the message to him is, we want you. And now that he's been around the block, Dix himself could understand and feel the difference between I really want you and I want you. And he wanted to be at a place that really wants him. He went home, thought over it. I thought maybe he was going to commit. I put my crystal ball in Saturday during the event, and he ended up committing the next day. So he went home, slept on it, talked it over with the family, and committed to the school that wants him the most.
Yeah, it was pretty clear in talking to him. He considered FSU a dream school, and it was just a place he wanted to be. It was on the agenda for him to get to that junior day. And there was nowhere else he talked about any fashion that came close to that. That was on his agenda. And he was one of those where he's like, I'm not really looking at law schools. He mentioned Clemson, and I know he liked them. He mentioned Ohio State. And I think the thing there is Ohio State was more the area recruiter doing his job than the position coach truly expressing an interest in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the difference was that FSU area recruiter loved him. You know, Dell has put him work down in that area in the last year. Other guys like Harlan have been down there with pursuing Tyler Davis, Renardo Green. Dix was made a priority by multiple guys like that. Raymond Woody, his position coach, made him an important figure. Willie Taggart invested time in him. So it's a matter of the staff doing their job as a whole and not some singular individual winning over a kid.
You guys both said your best football is ahead of you, too. That's also cliche.
You're really tough on this, aren't you?
I don't like being wrong. All right.
You're wrong. Move on.
We all like Stephen Dix Jr. related, distant cousin to HaHa Clinton Dix,
yeah.
Who also was at Dr. Phillips. You know who else was a pretty darn good linebacker for Dr. Phillips High School?
Lorenzo Edwards?
For you?
Or no, he was at Edgewater.
He was Edgewater. Yeah.
I'm out of linebackers from Dr. Phillips.
Actually, they've had a lot of really good ones.
They have.
Ricardo Wright came up to FSU back in 2000, late 2000s. Dylan Meeks, Colby Meeks. I'm trying to think of who else. They've had a handful of guys. Daryl Monroe, go D1. But anyways, I played there too, guys. You know how much I had in my career? 0.5.
Look at you.
All right.
Look at you.
Junior day. What else you got for me, guys?
All for us, for the day, people. They, like we said, they had about 36 kids I think they truly cared about. There were a couple quarterbacks, including some 2021 types. The classes that were represented there were 2020 heavily. 2021 was a select like 8 or so that they really cared about. A handful of those already have offers. Brandon Jennings, who's the son of Bradley Jennings, former FSU linebacker, was among the 2021 group. And then 2022, you had a couple guys there. One was a DB from Atlanta, really, really talented kid. And then Lucas Taylor, an offensive lineman from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, who was a 14-year-old who's a mammoth young man. And he's already got an offer from FSU. Him and his family really enjoyed making the trip. It was their second time at FSU, but their first time on a true recruiting visit. Everybody I talked to, kids, parents, people that brought them up, coaches, those types, all said it was very efficient. It was an excellent introduction to Florida State. Nice to get to know some of the faces and the names, the coaches and the staff and the support. Some guys really enjoyed the basketball game. McKinley Jackson, 5-star defensive tackle from Mississippi that rolled in the door. He really enjoyed going to hoops. McKinley Jackson is probably the best player that was there, truthfully, on Saturday. He's a mammoth of a human being. He's camped here a couple summers ago. This was his 4th or 5th visit in the last 24 months to FSU. He just keeps showing up. He very much reminds me, recruiting-wise, to some degree, of like a Marvin Wilson type with FSU. He really likes Odell. He likes some others on the staff. He likes showing up to FSU. He's just legitimately interested in him. He's going to look at Bama, the in-state schools. LSU is certainly a player. He was once committed there. So he's going to look at plenty. I think Georgia's an Owen. That's definitely in the mix. But FSU just keeps happening with that kid. But all in all, successful day. They're going to have another junior day on the first Saturday of spring football, then again at the spring game. And that's pretty much their spring recruiting plan. They'll obviously bring kids throughout spring football. There's always a mix of them that kind of come in throughout that month as they're able to travel and see it. But those will be their 3 big days. This one that just passed and the other 2 that I mentioned.
All right. Josh, anything to add to that? Since you were here in Grace, Tallahassee with your presence?
Yeah, the only thing me and Chris had a lot of time to talk. And one of the things that we mentioned was the fact that we thought they did really well at the 2 positions of need, which are quarterback and offensive line. I thought there was more offensive linemen at this junior day than there were probably at the last 2 combined when Florida State held the double junior days last spring. They did a really good job of getting guys in. They landed a quarterback. So between landing a quarterback and getting a bunch of offensive linemen on, I think that's a success. Anytime you can get a commitment, yeah, it's big. There's still a lot of work to be done. The season has to be played. But like Chris said, especially at these positions of need, I think you go away from what happened last year when FSU was kind of hesitant on guys like Medley and Rayburn. You know, instead, just offer those guys. If they want to commit, fine, take them. If they're at positions of need and you can recruit over their heads down the road, go ahead and do that. But we saw what happened when, you know, FSU was picky and then came out with a 5-7 season. You can't be picky. So I don't think they're going to do that this year. I think we're going to see a little bit different strategy.
Another big-time kid that was there was Jacksonville Trinity Christian 5-star cornerback Fred Davis. He was a bit of a surprise first visit ever to FSU. So it served as a good introduction to FSU. Another linebacker was a McCluster kid from down Josh's way, very talented kid that FSU likes a lot.
And Jalen Harrell from Berkeley Prep High School.
Yeah, from Berkeley Prep.
I think he's going to end up being a big bodied defensive end. I mean, right now he looks like he's about 6'3" and a half, 6'4" in a solid 260, you know, 250 pounds. I think once you get him in a college weight room and eating like he should, I think easily he's going to be, you know, in that 275, 280 range.
FSU also got every single commitment in their lower classes, 2021, 22 on campus.
True. That was
important. So
yeah, get him coming back.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other names, Brian Robinson, talented receiver, Miami commitment. He made his way up here. Bryce Gowdy, a guy that they like. I don't know if they're yet ready to take a commitment if he was ready to do so, but they do like him. Tight end Jonathan Odom, Kentucky offensive line commitment. Richie Leonard, he actually came back a little bit on Sunday. Evan Webster is a kid that's going to emerge. Big body kid, definitely looks the part. Mark Pitts was a kid I'd never heard of from in-state, offensive tackle, big body. He was up here in total. I counted, let's see, looks like 7 20-20 offensive linemen, and a majority of those were tackles, and none of them were bad-looking guys. All of them looked like definite D1 capable bodies. Some of them looked like they could even be high-level guys, and some of them are known as more high-level type possibilities. We mentioned McKinley Jackson. He kind of led the D-line group, but he also got Will Anderson, teammate of Kevon Glenn, his second visit since December. He's a really good-looking D-end in a class where they're going to need a really good-looking D-end.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker recovered that. They got a commitment from Dix Jr. Green was back over here. Keyshawn Green, commitment already. We talked about Harold McCluster. The secondary class, you had Dunson, who's committed here, Tate, who's committed here, McKnight, who's committed here. That's Isaiah Dunson, Demore Tate, and Jadarius McKnight. Then you add in Fred Davis. That right there is an outstanding secondary class if you were able to land it. And then a couple good athletes, Keziah Holmes, running back athlete type from Coco. He came with Richie Leonard, their teammates. Richie Leonard's the Kentucky offensive line commitment I mentioned. And James Thomas, a South Georgia talented athlete. He's one of those kids you keep warm and see what he develops into. 2021, I had 7 kids of note that I marked down. And then, as I mentioned, 2 in 2022.
All right, so productive weekend, a busy weekend, a lot of stuff going on. And that will lead us into National Signing Day on Wednesday. And that'll be a pretty eventful one because there's a lot of dominoes to possibly fall. And I'm curious to see what news even comes before then. So as we wrap this up, guys, we're hopeful to do a podcast before National Signing Day. And we're also hopeful to do one after. Some of us, not me, but some of us are running on fumes because they're just grinding, covering recruiting stuff right now. So I want to try to fit it around their schedule too. So we will try to make it happen, but I just can't promise anything, but would like to do one more podcast before and maybe one on Thursday or Friday to kind of sum up 2019 and then move on to 2020. So if that's all you guys have, anything else?
I'm good.
Josh?
I'm good. Thanks.
Your ADHD has been amazing today, or ADD, whatever you got. It's been
good. I'm dialed in, man. I'm dialed in.
It's good. We're going almost on an hour here, man.
Yeah, when it's go time, I'm here, Brendan. It's time.
This is closing time, and you're here for it. All right.
Yeah, this is what we get paid to do.
All right, so everyone, thanks for listening. For the Noles 24/7 podcast, this is Brendan Sineau. Remember, 5-star reviews in iTunes. And again, hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll see.
Maybe.